Aronimink Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
Sit back on your heels. Turn through the abdomen.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Nice.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Don't you think your negativity is a little premature?
And Brandon Sprague.
Please, just shut up!
What's with the hostility, man?
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
How do you like me now?
We love you, Kirk. Kirk's got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. We got the mail sack coming up an hour from now. Get your questions in, 503-864-6326.
Mail sack.
I'm going to do due diligence on one of them because the listener is asking for me to do the due diligence.
Okay.
And so he's asking a mail sack question, and he would like to allow you the time to contemplate, and we will answer the question coming up in an hour. One of those questions is, we're constantly talking about franchises that are run horribly on this show, which we love doing.
We like to note, like, hey, this team doesn't get run very well.
And we also have no problem saying when those teams are teams that we root for. We have no problem criticizing our own teams.
Yep.
He adds, so I'm curious, in the big four sports, which teams do you think have the best run front offices, upper management, owners?
Okay, so I'm keeping owners with the front offices?
It's all just the best collection of power inside of an organization, if that makes sense.
I think the Knicks have a really good front office. I think Jim Dolan sucks.
He's a bad owner.
So, like, I can't give him into the credit department here.
Is Bennett a good owner in OKC?
I mean, there's no reason to believe he's not, but he's not super loaded.
No, but he's
done
a pretty good job winning for a long time. Right.
So what should we do here?
I think doing the owner can be a component of it, but I think it's mainly like think about the day to day.
Well run.
Yeah. Like the Seahawks, I certainly don't think Jody Allen is a good owner.
John Schneider was amazing.
John Schneider runs the show, and he's clearly proven to be a good GM. So,
all right, I'll write some lists down.
So think about that one. We'll get to the mail sack. Your question's welcome. 503-864-6326. I did enjoy this one. Where did this go? I got to scroll up. Mariner fans are now yelling at each other on the YouTube chat.
I mean, at least they won yesterday.
They did. I'll take your word for it.
I think they lost that series to the White Sox.
They own the Astros this year.
I lost it.
The Astros are terrible.
It basically was like you guys are moving the goalposts now, just pointing out the Mariners' record. Last year it was a run differential, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, record's a pretty big indicator of how you are as a baseball team, is it not?
I mean, a plus four run differential isn't amazing.
I mean, look, there's a long ways to go, and your division's terrible. The Mariners are going to be fine because the AL West is dog ass, and nobody's going to run away with it this year. So you're going to be in the mix all season long.
What are you?
And once you get to
the
playoffs,
goalposts? have your own standards. Are you happy with how the season's gone?
Hey, come on, man! You're below 500 at the quarter point of the season. And if I would have told you that when the season was beginning in April, what would you have said? Hey, 42 games in, you're going to be below 500. You'd say, well, that's not ideal. That kind of sucks.
A plus four run differential.
That's all you got to do.
So the Rangers are a half game behind you. They're a minus four. We're talking about like a game and a half difference here.
Yes.
Of like you
had anybody
a good game
can win
and
the yeah anybody can win the AL West, man. That's how wild it is. We are officially in the part of football season where we start to find out when games are going to be played. This is going on in the NFL, and we'll get to that in a moment. I love how Troy Aikman's on Get Up this morning talking about the Cowboys. Let's go, baby.
No, he's actually on for the big Monday Night Football breaking
news. So we'll get to all that.
Broncos, sheesh.
We also don't know where the game's going to be played, which is kind of weird. We're also reaching the point of the college football season where we're having network drafts, which I will reiterate. And I know Swags made this argument for years. Like, the fact that this isn't on television is criminal. It's absolutely criminal. So Fox gets the first.
Oh, the network's picking their games.
They get to draft their games because you have, like, use the Big Ten as an example. Like, SEC is all ESPN. You know where their games are going to be. The Big Ten has Fox, you have NBC, and you have CBS. And so you have these different networks that are vying for games. Fox gets the first three picks of the draft. Because they are the primary stakeholder in the Big Ten.
And this is any game all season long.
Any game, as long as it's at a Big Ten venue.
Right.
That's how you can choose from. So we all know what their first pick is.
Ohio State, Michigan.
Every year. It's Ohio State, Michigan pick number one. It's the big noon game last week of the regular season. Do you know who their second pick was? They made it yesterday.
I would say Ohio State, Indiana.
It is not. It is a non-conference game.
No clue.
Oh, is it Oklahoma, Texas?
Oklahoma, Michigan.
Michigan, that's right.
So Oklahoma's going to Michigan. That was their second pick in the Fox draft. Now, the third pick will come down to, and Oregon fans are watching this closely, because if the Fox drafts a game, where are they going to put it? it's going to be a big noon game.
Oh, yeah, big nooner.
You're going to have an early start time.
Yep.
Ohio State and Indiana play, and Oregon and Ohio State play.
Oregon goes to Ohio State.
What would be your third pick?
Oregon, Ohio State.
You would pick that over the defending national champions?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that that game's at Indiana, right?
I believe it is in Indiana, but
I mean,
I'll double check.
Oh. Yeah, I think I'd pick
Oregon.
Like, they
just
Oregon
won a national title.
I know.
Yeah. So everybody's
Oregon's responsible for some of the biggest ratings in the sport in the last decade.
I get it. It's interesting because of the timing of it. Like 2 years ago, if you asked that, it's a no-brainer, right? And then Indiana wins a national title.
Yeah.
So everybody's eagerly awaiting this because if they draft Oregon and Indiana, that then moves the Oregon-Ohio State game to a 12:30 CBS game.
Or a 4:30 NBC game.
It can't
game.
Be that night because that's the same day as Miami playing at Notre Dame. And they already said that that's night 4:30 kick on NBC. Mm. So the only other slot available is 12:30 on CBS. Let me see if it's in. I'm assuming it's at.
How would you like them to do it if they televised it? Like, you know how at the NBA draft lottery, like this weekend we did the draft lottery.
It is in Bloomington, Indiana.
And we had John Wall. Looking a little uncomfortably bigger.
He did, yeah.
You know, wearing the suit, smiling. He's the last number one pick for the Wizards. They send him there. He gets the number one pick. Who, like, would you want Noah Eagle on the dais and then have, like, Joel Klatt on the dais and then...
Reacting to the drafting of the games,
they
too.
Reveal it for their network.
Why not do that? I just don't get it. Like, with the first pick, no brainer, we take Ohio State, Michigan. 30 million people are going to watch this. All right, pick number two.
30 million would not watch it. I mean, it's, yeah, it would rate.
The number was insane last year. It's pretty big. I think it's the most watched regular season game all year.
I'm talking about the picking of the show. Like, the games.
I'm saying that's why they draft Ohio State, Michigan number one, because 30 million people will
probably
watch
it. I think it would more
that.
Be like the NFL draft where Petiti would come out.
Mm.
To the podium and say with the first pick of the 2026 Big Ten,
they go to Week 9 matchup between
schedule draft. Fox Sports selects.
That's a good poll.
That
question.
Would be so fun
as a television producer, or I don't know what the word would be, director, whatever. What game would you rather broadcast this year? Yeah. So you're going Oregon and Ohio State in Columbus.
I would go Oregon.
And would you go Oregon, Ohio State, or would you go Indiana, Ohio State in Bloomington? By the way. So you get that home at like that crowd having a chance to beat Ohio State.
It was where did they go last year, or maybe it was I think it was last year. They went there for was it Michigan?
I think
it was
I would
such
go.
A raucous atmosphere.
That scene
for the big
is
nooner.
Insane.
It's
yes.
nuts now at Indiana.
It's a massive deal. They're going to sell out every game for another decade. They got a banner in their stadium,
yeah,
and they're hosting Ohio State, the team who they beat in the
I
Big Ten title.
I still think I would
there.
Go. I still think if I'm a television producer, yeah, I would take Oregon. I mean, Ohio. How far is Bloomington from Columbus?
So you're
Ohio?
Going more West Coast viewers that
I
angle.
Just,
of,
I want to get the wide. I still don't know how much national draw Indiana has.
I mean, they really? Got national draw now, but I still don't know if it matches quite Oregon at Ohio State level.
Interesting,
because you have.
If I were saying this, I'd get crucified. By the way, so I'm glad you guys are making this.
Well, no, I mean, it's the West Coast element here.
Yeah, yeah, you get more. There's a more national view of it.
Yeah, and it's not that like USC fan or UW fan doesn't watch Indiana, Ohio State. It's more like
also the Oregon
more
Ducks
betting and rooting interest in it.
The Oregon Ducks could have what many perceive to be a potential number one overall draft pick at quarterback if he's healthy at that point.
All right, yeah. And pull questions up. If you ran a TV network, which football game would you pick for your primetime slot? Oregon at Ohio State or Ohio State at Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, I see the view. I see the point of having more West Coast people engaged with the game. It'll be an interesting case study because Indiana's probably going to be good again. I think Ohio State's going to be one of the best teams in the sport. Oregon's going to be up there in the mix. So these will be like top five, top 10 games. Yeah. They're 2 weeks apart, by the way.
That's crazy.
So the Oregon, Ohio State Indiana game is on October 17th. And I guess 3 weeks, there's a bye in there. And then Oregon and Ohio State is November 7th.
Man. Plus, would Fox
I'm
roll...
surprised we care. There's 12 playoff teams. We shouldn't even care about these games.
Would Fox roll the dice?
Look
that...
at us. We have sports erections over
talking
the
scheduling.
Idea of what game to put on TV it because
feels
we want to watch it so bad.
Yeah, it feels good.
This is my whole point. If it goes to 16, we're still going to do this.
That's a strong point.
I'm still going to be like, that's oh, hell yeah, dude.
Well, you guys
can't wait.
The idea of Oklahoma, Michigan being second was a little interesting to
that's
me.
That's nuts to me.
Isn't it? Like, if
yeah,
I'm
I,
Fox,
I, yeah.
like, we can debate Indiana, Ohio State, or Oregon. Ohio State, I would rather have both of those games later in the year than I would Oklahoma, Michigan.
Underwood.
I think that's more an issue of how sparse the schedule is that week in terms of another headline game. Mm.
But Underwood might suck.
He could.
There's
he
a lot
in
of
the
intel
spring game.
That he's not, it's not
that's
going
week two,
well.
Right?
I believe that is week two. Let me go double check. I think
they don't
week
have
two.
Any SEC games. So what are the other Big Ten home games that week?
Let me see. Big Ten Week 2. God, this is so nerdy, but I love it.
I mean, let's not act like we're not Rutgers thinking about
it. So home game. So you got Ohio State plays Texas that weekend, but it's at Texas this year.
Yeah, so that'll be an ABC or ESPN game. That's an ABC game.
That's the Oregon-Oklahoma State game. Come on, but it's at Oklahoma State. Oh, Iowa State-Iowa.
No. Give me Oklahoma,
Duke,
Michigan.
Illinois.
No, not even.
See, I think that's more a function of
nothing
that
else.
Game is
nothing
so
else.
Much better than anything else.
Washington
on the slate
plays
that
Utah
week.
State, yeah,
but also Michigan. Maybe they're 8-4 this year, and Oklahoma waxes them.
Yeah, you could have that.
They got Mateer back, right?
They do have John
so you
Mateer
have
back.
Mateer, you've got Venables going again. They made the playoff last year.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, you've got.
So you're just looking for an early season game to
I mean,
fill
also,
your hole.
Like,
those well, are two big brands. I
but
get
I mean,
it.
Those that, are good holes to fill. Your
they
big,
are, yeah.
If that's your big nooner, like
blue bloods.
As opposed to what? You're going to put Iowa State, Iowa on there? You're going to put San Diego State? Well, you're
I
not
mean, you're
going
to have the point is you're going to have weeks like that because, the other part about this that is hilarious is that with the drafting stuff going on is the universal opinion from fans when their team gets picked to be at a big nooner game being livid about it. Because this happened yesterday. Oklahoma put out the announcement where we know our kick time week two in Ann Arbor, 11 a.m. local time or whatever. And everybody universally that was an Oklahoma fan was like, damn it. Why do we have to play a game so early?
It's not
That's
a great
the other
time
fun
slot.
Part about it. It's great for television viewing. I'll grant you that opinion. But for the people who go and like get like want to go tailgate and everything, they're just like, come on, man. Let me enjoy the day in Ann Arbor. It's going to be beautiful weather. I'm flying all the way into town. Let me fully get my tailgate on before I got to go watch a game.
Is there a way to fold and develop Klatt and Gus Johnson not doing that game and having it exist, but giving the Oklahoma-Michigan game like the 12 o'clock kick, the 3 o'clock kick, like getting just a little bit ahead of the primetime ABC ESPN game?
I also just think, too, like...
Because I think that window, for most people, is pretty terrible.
Yes. For big games, I'm not a huge fan of it. Northwestern versus Indiana, there's nothing else on. Like, whatever. I got a game on. That's fine.
The you game that, the game anymore, that should the be on...
I know, but they're playing Northwestern. Like, Oregon was against Northwestern. Sure. It's like, that sucks. It's a big noon game, but it's a Northwestern game. Who cares?
The Iowa State-Iowa game should be the big nooner.
See, that's a good rivalry. It's usually a close game. It's not that compelling nationally. But I just... Michigan-Oklahoma, I get the brand value of it, but to your point, we have no clue how Underwood's going to be.
No.
It's a new coach. You're taking over. Like, Oklahoma's going to be one of the better teams in the SEC, I'm sure, again. But
I would just be in on the idea of what you're throwing out. And like, this is my point on the NBA draft.
If they
lottery.
Aired a draft, if they aired this tonight, I would watch every second of it.
I would
to
too.
Find out when my team's going to play. When is this big game going to go down?
Why do they think this game over that game? Yeah. I'd be contemplating and having takes from all of it. I think you can make an argument, Derp. I think you make an argument in 2026 with the amount of streaming options in our lives. We're almost too consumed and have too many options and choices of what to watch, when to watch it, how to watch it. I still think they missed the mark on content, which is nuts to say because I wouldn't think I'd say that at this point.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't we getting more big courtroom cases? Why did I get Johnny Depp and Amber Heard... But I'm not getting...
I love a good court case on TV.
But, like, why am I not getting, why didn't I get more Diddy court cases on television?
Yeah.
I got drawings of Diddy, right? Like,
that's a good point. Do they not let cameras in for that
I don't
one?
Know. Sometimes the judge
shuts
can
it down.
Say, I don't want this to be a circus.
Mm. Like, I'm just, I find it fascinating what court cases I'm allowed to watch versus I got to still see in-court drawings that look nothing. Tom Brady. Remember those images of Tom Brady drawn in Deflategate stuff?
I do.
Why didn't I get to watch that on television on some channel? Why don't I get this? Why did the NBA draft lottery decide to just wedge it in between games
sometimes
run right through
the
it?
The judges will
on Mother's
have
Day.
A closed courtroom, so they won't let anybody in other than people that actually have a reason to be there. So you don't, because they don't want it to be a total circus.
Yeah.
It already is a circus.
It is. I see the point.
The circus is outside of the courtroom, not in my courtroom.
Let me watch the circus, all right? The world sucks. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
Let me at least enjoy the misery of somebody's court case.
Yes.
Is that too much to ask?
Yes.
In the modern times, let me watch my network draft. I want to see NBC and CBS haggling and making a trade over Ohio State, Indiana in week 9 of the college football season.
I want to see Fox picking a game, and when they pick the game, you see, like, the NBC, CBS, ESPN execs go, damn it,
like got
they get really hot and bothered. Mm. I don't need to see Skip Bayless back on my television.
What?
I need the networks picking their TV games.
No.
And why did they do that?
And then the Big Ten Network you know, gets in and steals. Their third little fiddle. A good one somebody.
Wait, who invited them here? Why is the Big Ten Network on the stage, dude?
It's not.
Look at the sloppy seconds.
It's not just that it was comedically written as some of the best content as a skit. The racial draft still to this day.
It's one of the funniest bits of television ever.
Because we would watch it if it was real. And we would debate, is he white or is he black? We want this content. We've told you as a society.
It's just in.
Give us the content. If you're going to trade Tiger to the Asian team.
Yeah.
Like
I want to Wu-Tang going.
Where's the haggle? What are we debating here?
I want this. I need this.
I mean, we just had it. They do this. I would argue the videos you get out of the NFL are better than any sort of off-season stuff that they do, like the draft night stuff where you're calling and it's the phones that are connected. Like the Cowboy one is the most interesting or relevant off the top of my head, where they're calling the Dolphins to move up. The Dolphins say no, and then the Dolphins call back with like 2 seconds on the clock. They're like, yeah, by the way, we'll take the deal because nobody else offered anything. And then they call Caleb Downs. Like that behind the scenes of how it all shakes out when that five-minute moment when you're on the clock.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's some of the most captivating stuff that you can watch because that's what we all want. We want to be in the room and see what it's like and the rush of energy when you get the player that you're going after. It would be great for television executives to do this, of having them all come together, put it on whatever channel you want, and just go through the entire schedule, because the draft is slowly taking place and now this stuff gets leaked like game by game. So yesterday you find out Oklahoma Michigan is a big noon game in week two. It's like, well, that's random. We don't have any other dates really for college football games other than that one in like Miami Notre Dame, but guess what will come out later in the week? Oh, by the way, this game or this team versus this team is going to be at 12:30 on CBS. It would be incredible to put it on TV, and why they haven't realized that that would be a ratings bonanza and just inject life into the offseason of the college football season.
You want people,
this is what the problem is of not having somebody in charge.
Well, some of the best, you talk about the draft videos and how great they can be. I mean, one of my favorite videos is the video, coincidentally, of Vrabel finding out they've traded AJ Brown.
Yes.
And he just turns and walks out because he's so pissed off that they did that.
Yes.
That's the stuff that you get with this. I'd also, the way that they do the college football playoff, so they should set it up in very similar fashion. You get through the networks, they make their picks, and then we see all the execs or the faces of these networks make the pick. And then I need a postgame show, and I need Kirk Herbstreit to be like, I don't agree. I don't agree with what my network just chose at the third pick there.
Why would they be drafted?
I would have gone this game. The NFL should be doing the same thing.
They should.
Why is it Broncos Chiefs first Monday night game? What was it about that game versus the other week one options?
What if Mahomes isn't back?
Then it'll be in L.A.
What do you mean it'll be in L.A.?
Well, they haven't set where the game is yet.
I thought they said it's the opening Monday night of the season.
It is, but they didn't designate who's the home team.
But it's Denver,
but why does that matter if Mahomes is playing? They can't move it to L.A. It's already Denver, Kansas City.
It's Denver, Kansas City. They would play in Denver or Kansas City.
That's the matchup.
Do they have a sneaky Mahomes isn't playing, so let's go to L.A.?
We're talking about the same thing?
They announced the first Monday night game of the year.
Right, Chiefs-Chargers.
Will be Chiefs. No, it's Chiefs and Broncos.
Hang on.
Somebody's going to be super wrong here, and I hope it's not me.
I literally have the tweet staring in front of me.
I've seen it
the
on my television.
The season's first Monday night football game, September 14th, will be the Denver Broncos versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Game site has still not been determined as the NFL is finalizing the schedule for Thursday's release, but that's the matchup. So if Mahomes isn't playing, you can't move the game to L.A.
That's true.
It will either be in Denver, but that would be a bummer of scheduling that game. I, for a moment, thought I was taking crazy pills.
I don't know what
I'm staring at Trey. I've been talking about the Chiefs and the Broncos playing.
I have no idea what just happened there. I'm very confused. Mahomes doesn't play until they go to L.A.?
I mean, you should be able to do that, though. If you find out he's not in the game, pivot out. Does anybody want to watch Justin Fields start the first Monday night game of the year? Get out of here with that nonsense.
Blink twice if you're okay.
Are you okay? He's
I'm
got
concerned.
A lot going on.
We'll
give him the pass. He's haggling with medical insurance stuff. That's not fun. But speaking of which, let's get to some of the other tidbits out of the NFL schedule, because we do got a few more drip, drip, drips. Oh, I do. I got a drop that says that, don't I?
There is one.
Hold on. Let me find my
NFL
schedule. La, la, la. Drip, drip, drip. We got a little more drip, drip, drip coming out of the NFL schedule. We still haven't talked about what happened in one of the NBA playoff games last night.
I mean,
people want us to talk about what happened in one of the NBA playoff games
Cavs
last night?
Pistons?
Did anybody watch?
It's going to be a seven-gamer.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to pick them to beat the Knicks.
Zero people will pick them. So we'll get to that at some point. Mail sack coming up top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam. All right, welcome back in. 8:28. We got the mail sack coming up top of the hour. 503-864-6326. That is a fan text line, and you can go ahead and chime in with your mail sack questions. We'll answer them coming up at 9 o'clock. Maybe carve out a little bit of time for some NBA stuff here, but we're on the football pathway. Mm-hmm. And before I get to some of the other newsy bits that have come out, not that you know that big of a deal, but still fun to talk about nonetheless. If I were to ask you to power rank the three teams, maybe it's easy, maybe you go off the beaten path. Of like you get an announcement and it says so and so is playing in prime time. They're a Thursday night game, a Monday night game, or a Sunday night game. Mm-hmm. Who are the three that get you the most excited in the NFL? Do you just go big court like Lamar, Josh Allen, Mahomes?
Do
you go deeper than that?
I do more teams.
Okay. Do you get environments excited. And atmospheres? Like some teams hosting feels a little bit different than others.
No, I don't really care about
that. Okay, no matter to you.
I can tell you where I think good environments are.
Sure,
but for me, it's more team based. I want the good teams.
Yes.
Now I do love players. Josh Allen, Lamar, two players that, like, if I hear it, but I know their teams are good.
They are very good.
They're going to be in the running.
Yes.
Joe Burrow, I'm excited to see Joe Burrow.
Smoking at Joe Burrow.
But his teams haven't been very good lately, so maybe I'm not as excited, and will he even be playing? I don't know.
Yeah.
I am more driven by teams than I am players.
Okay.
In the National Football League, in the NBA, much different.
Yeah, the star player is such a big part of it.
It's
they
a big
touch
draw.
The ball, and I mean, I know the quarterback does too, but not on defense. He's only playing
well,
out the side.
That Laker game. That game was not going to end up with them winning. Even when they were winning, I was like, they're not going to win this game. And it's a sweep. I watched the entire thing.
Yeah.
I went to bed late to watch the entire thing.
Yeah,
because I want to watch LeBron.
Right.
I want to see SGA and the Thunder. And yeah, I it's player-driven. In the NFL, I love players, but it's far more team-driven than it is. Chicago-Seattle is exciting because I know those two teams are coming in with real expectations, one trying to defend the crown,
yes.
The other one trying to take the next step towards getting the crown. So I'm all in. Now, I love Caleb Williams. I love watching him.
Quarterback play helps there for sure.
The Seahawks have JSN. I think he's an absolute stud. They have some stud defensive players that I enjoy watching run around when they're not against my team. But it's largely team-based stuff. And the coaching matchup's interesting. You've got Ben Johnson against Mike Macdonald.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a random one that I'm kind of excited about. They haven't been announced on any yet, but just how it's going to work this year, fascinating to me, and I'm excited to see it on the biggest stage, which will certainly happen a number of times. I'm going to throw the Vikings out there. Feels like a massive year for their head coach, a team who's been relevant, like above 500, but not able to get over the hump.
Yeah.
They go get little... Kyler Murray is their quarterback now, and just how does that fit? How does that look? Does he become the next guy who revives his career of like, he's too tiny, he can't do it, to look at the Vikings winning the NFC North and they win 14 games this year and go on a deep playoff run?
Well, they cannot be worse than they were last year.
Well,
minus injuries.
Sure, but even last year, the pull point, like Minnesota was 9-8 last year.
Yeah.
They weren't even in last place in their own division. Detroit was behind them in the standings.
Yeah, Detroit.
They technically had the same record,
right.
But they won the tiebreaker over Detroit. So that's a foot, like they weren't good and they were still above 500 and they had J.J. McCarthy at quarterback.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm not a big Kyler guy, but he's far more competent than J.J. McCarthy.
So they're like an under the radar, like there's easy answers there, but like when Minnesota shows up on a Green Bay game or Detroit will probably be one that becomes a Monday night game or a Sunday night game, that's like, I don't know, that's mildly exciting for me. I also, total random, because I'll get to the NFL scheduling stuff here in a moment. If I were to ask you to move to a city, I was thinking about this last night watching the Avs and Wild game, which is a pretty good game, came down on the wire. Avs took a 3-1 series lead, probably over. If I asked you to move to a city, which one would be the easiest embrace of all of the fandoms in that city? Because there's people.
Oh, so
in the,
if we moved our jobs moved to a city?
So fill in the blank city hires you, and you want to be one of the radio
Chicago.
Hosts who goes to the city and pretends to be a fan
Chicago.
Of all the teams. Chicago would be the easiest?
It has to be a city for me. Because also, if I'm going to, let's say we go to a slightly bigger city,
sure.
right? And I got more options. It has to be a city that the city is passionate about the sports that I don't as much care about.
Mm.
Like if you were to say, what's your dream sports scenario? NFL.
Yep.
NBA,
yep,
college football. Now, if you gave me baseball, I'm okay with it, but I love being a Braves fan, and I'm okay not having baseball per se. Those would be my three.
Yeah.
But if I had baseball and I had some of that blue line, Brandon,
yeah.
I need the fan base to – it helps to have the fan base make you care more to want to follow it.
Right.
Chicago would be a pretty good
Chicago's a good pull. I was watching the Wild game last night, and I thought to myself, like, that would be really – to stick with my Minnesota Vikings theme – the Minnesota teams would be easy to fold in.
Very easy.
Because the Wild got great gear, cool logo, could easily root for them. It's not like they've been some juggernaut. You got Ant Edwards, so you got a star player who's super
skull
dope to root for.
Is awesome.
The Vikings are like, I'm jealous of their fandom because I want a skull clap before every game, and my team's not even a Viking team.
Twinkie Ballpark's nice.
And the Twins
downtown.
Are the Twins. Like, the Twins are cool, dude. Yeah. Like, I got no issue with it. So I was just thinking, watching that game last night, I'm like, you know what? If we ever had to move there, I could pull off that fake fandom, and I don't know how many years it would take to actually become real, but I could pull that off.
Yeah, that's the other part, is how quick would you fake it, or would you want it to be really organic? Like, I could see myself legitimately, because I had a friend that was a big Randy Moss fan, so he was a Viking fan.
Yeah.
I've always loved the skull clap. I think their unis and helmets are sweet. I
underrated
love Chris
uniform,
Carter and Randy Moss and Cunningham and Culpepper. I could see myself maybe not ditching ever the Niners truly.
No, that would always still be a part of you.
Caring a lot about the Vikings being good versus being totally indifferent.
I think you would force it a little bit at first, but it would happen organically because you would have to follow all the teams in order to talk about them.
Yeah,
so you would naturally invest your time into those teams, and you would become, over time, you'd get to know players and teams and coaches and create relationships, and you become a fan of them.
And you wouldn't talk about it on the radio show, but like if you hosted in Minneapolis, like, you get the Minnesota Go for Big Ten football stuff is right in downtown.
Just kind of mix it up, you know? Like,
the Oregon Ducks are in town.
It's not as big of a deal there.
Ohio State's here.
Right. Like, I don't think college football is huge in Chicago, but they watch it.
No.
They follow it.
They don't talk about it,
but they don't talk about it because you have the NFL and you have every other sport that's going on.
I'm fairly certain in Minnesota, they don't talk about it on their biggest sports
stations.
It's largely Vikings and then probably right now Wild and Ann Edwards.
Maybe Ohio State comes to town. It's a big deal for that game, but you're not doing breakdowns the way we are in other parts of the country.
Certainly
just
not.
A total random tangent, I thought.
13, 14 cities that have all four of the major sports franchises.
So Philly, Boston, New York,
LA,
Chicago, LA,
Washington, D.C.,
Dallas,
Denver.
Does Miami, right? Technically?
Yeah.
Although I know the Panthers don't technically play in Miami,
but they're counted as a Miami team.
LA and the Bay Area, Phoenix.
Bay Area, Phoenix.
No, Phoenix, not anymore.
No.
They lost their hockey team.
Bay Area, yeah.
Bay Area, yes.
Seattle's about to be this.
Seattle will be when they get an NBA team. Seattle will be back in the mix. Yeah. Minneapolis. Did we say Minneapolis?
Yeah.
We couldn't be more little brother than them having all
Vegas
four.
Vegas would be if they got the NBA franchise.
Yeah, Vegas would.
That would piss me off.
Think about that.
That's going to happen. I know it will. That's going to grind my
When did the – because the Golden Knights were the first
Detroit.
Team. Yeah, Detroit.
Detroit. Good
Detroit.
Pull. Detroit.
What about Cleveland?
Cleveland!
No, Cleveland doesn't have a hockey team.
Right. Columbus.
Yeah.
Close, but not
that's
quite
adjacent.
There.
They
it's adjacent.
It's adjacent.
Yeah, that's...
Ohio has it.
That's a draw.
Ohio has all
Beat
of them.
That.
Yes. Ohio against everybody. That's what they say,
Ohio's
don't you know?
A big state.
couple other quick scheduling notes out of the NFL to the surprise of no one. Did you know the Cowboys are going to play on Thanksgiving again?
Well, they always play on Thanksgiving, but we found out who they're going to
play. They're
playing
the Eagles.
They're playing the Eagles.
We don't know the Lions' opponent yet, though. We do know the Cowboys will play the Eagles on Thanksgiving.
Now, isn't there a wild card one that's thrown in the mix now?
Yeah,
the third
so
one.
They added a third that's one for right. NBC.
But the Lions start, Cowboys middle of the day, now Cowboys Eagles.
So
and
Fox
then,
and CBS would switch between the Lions and Cowboys.
And now we have a Black Friday game.
And
yes,
that
we
was
do.
On, is that on Prime?
It was Prime last year.
Okay.
I don't know where it was 2 years ago, but last year I remember it being on Prime. We mentioned earlier Denver and Kansas City will be the first Monday night game of the year. They've not decided where the game will be taking place, but that will be the first Monday night game of the year.
Is that the Justin Fields game?
If Mahomes doesn't play, I believe the Chiefs fans can correct me.
It's either him or Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah, they drafted Nussmeier.
What if Nix isn't healthy and we got...
Oh, gosh.
Stidham? We got Stidham still there?
Where's the pucker for Broncos fans if he's not healthy for week one?
I mean, I
Look, it's huge.
I can't speak for Bronco fan. If I'm a Bronco fan, my whole year I'm nervous.
Are you worried right now?
Yeah, this is worrying.
Weird off season.
It's an ankle injury.
Multiple surgeries.
You can like him all you want.
Yeah.
If he's not mobile and he loses that ability, I don't have any faith in that ever leading close to the promised land.
Yeah, it's tough. His athleticism, too, is such an underrated part of his game.
Obviously, the whole league, I think, underrated it.
That
Look
we didn't talk
success.
About at all coming out of college. Like, when you compared him, like there was no doubt like the Penix arm talent was better. His accuracy, like there was some unbelievable throws that Penix made in college. And fit is obviously a big part of this.
Yeah.
He's had an easier fit and a better head coaching situation than Penix has. But his athleticism has allowed him to thrive at the next level in a way that I don't think we talked about
if
enough.
If this is Stidham and Fields, that is an instant regret. Now that...
Somebody's saying you flex out. You can't, once you announce week one, there's no flex.
No, you're not flexing until like week 12.
Yeah. Yes. It's and Monday Night Football is very, that's a hard flex to make. nonetheless. Like Sunday night's easier.
Sunday
flex
night's easy.
It's the same day. You just
yeah,
play game,
Monday
you
night football. You gotta. It's got to be like 2 weeks ahead
yes,
of time
because fans got tickets for a Monday night game. Yeah. Now it's a different day of the week.
Also,
not just a different time.
I don't know if that game. I don't know if that game's getting me jacked.
If it's Mahomes and Knicks, it will. But if it's not, then yeah, I agree with the point.
Did you see Kyle Shanahan try to and it's super random. Mm. He tried to say out loud George Kittle could be back by week one.
What?
Dude popped his Achilles.
What is he talking? What is he smoking?
Round.
Can I have some of that ayahuasca?
Well, I'm curious to see, like, Dame is an example of this. The Achilles injury, I'm starting to watch it. It's starting to evolve a little bit the way the ACL did. I'm not saying like...
Guys are coming back sooner, that's for sure.
Way sooner.
But that was a late... Wasn't that in the playoff game?
Divisional round.
Yeah. No. No.
No.
Kyle.
I don't know why he said it.
I don't know why you wouldn't want him back for week one.
Oh, no kidding.
He's at the end of his career. Yeah. Like, he's how many more years does he have left? Let's not rush that back, maybe?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And injure something else. And then the first Thursday night game of the year, other than the Thursday night / Friday morning Australia game, will be Bills hosting the Lions, opening up their new stadium. So the trickle comes out slowly but surely. We are finding out when NFL games happen.
Yeah, we
the
get
full
all
release.
The international games will be announced tomorrow morning.
Why didn't we get...
Drip, drip, drip.
I mean, we'll probably get it when the show ends. Seahawks-Bears announced yet?
They have not announced that officially yet.
I don't know.
Game.
Yeah, we...
That should be the first game
announced. I don't know why they haven't announced.
What a weird way to do this.
Very weird.
Sunday night, Giants-Cowboys. Ugh.
You know what they got me, though?
That got you excited?
They got me in the palm of their hands, so I'm waiting for more.
I'm not going to remember any of
Roger,
these.
Roger, give me more! I need another game.
Somebody said we should call our college football network show the Neutral Field.
That's good. TM, if you want to make more money, everybody's looking for more money in college athletics. Pay for those NIL rosters. It's right here for you. Let's talk about the game. Did people watch? And are we excited for the rest of it? That is next. 105.1 FM The Fam. All right, we get to the mail sack coming up top of the hour. Your questions are welcome. 503-864-6326. Enjoy this from Bronco fans. Back-to-back text. Bo will be fine. Quiet Sprague. Next one. Bronco fan here. I'm not expecting Knicks to be healthy for much of the year. The team keeps moving the goalpost for his recovery. It must be bad.
Shut up, Sprague. I'm terrified. All right. What do you want me to do here?
Sums up the dichotomy of fandom.
Sitting in between both of you, and you're yelling at me, but for different reasons.
You're not mad at me, man. You're mad at your dad. One day closer to the start of the PGA Championship. I love the honesty of Rory. He did his press conference today, and they were like, what's the strategy off the tee? And he was like, none. Hit it far. I said there's no game plan for
there's no game plan. It's wide open just fairways.
Just put it in the fairway. And then he talked about something that's been debated a long time about match play coming to the PGA Championship to give it a, to, in the face of arguments that you make, Sprague, about it being an irrelevant major of, or the fourth, easily the fourth major, of make it the match play major championship and have a different spin. And he said that would be great. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but he defended that.
You're like doing the NBA Finals. Let's play 3-on-3 to get people to care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I was right.
It's like having an in-season tournament. Blocky came out.
Great invention. Now we care.
My guy Michael Block came out.
Oh, did he get a presser?
He did not. I don't know if he got a presser, but
he just got interviewed.
For Scratch Golf, he got interviewed.
Oh, okay.
And get this. For those who thought I was too hard on Michael Block agrees with me on Michael Block.
He's heard a lot about himself.
He's tired of Michael Block.
Michael Block came out and said, quote, I was sick of Blocky too. I didn't even want to hear my voice anymore. I didn't want to see the hole in one ever again. I mean, it got shoved down everybody's throat. Even Blocky came. Man, you know what? Maybe there's a positive point there, Blocky.
Okay.
Self-awareness on your part. I'll grant it. More accepting. I will now not root for you or against you in the PGA Championship. Are we excited that Cavs and Pistons is going to go to a game 5 tied up 2-2?
You mean a game 6 now?
Is it game 6?
Well, it will go 6 games.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Going to game 5 tied 2-2, not 3-1 as in the series is essentially
over. Donovan Mitchell's going to play like that. That's pretty entertaining.
Are we excited?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say.
Can we be excited. Can we take a moment in the trust tree here? Let's be honest.
I will tell you honesty. If you start it with honesty, I'll give you honesty.
How much of the game did we watch last night?
4% because I had basketball practice.
Okay. Swag?
I had multiple TVs going. I had the Avs Wild on the main screen.
He watched none of it.
And it was on the second screen.
Yeah, he didn't
watch it. I watched maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
On accident in a double box and then
on
thought,
accident.
This
it was
is
on,
stupid. I want to watch the hockey game.
And it was like tight.
hockey game was 2-2.
Like the first half was
going
on.
They pulled away by the time I turned it on.
And then the third quarter, I was like, wait, I thought this was a tie game. And that's a 15-point game. And then I kind of, what happened?
So to answer your question about my excitement level over game five, I think that answers the question right there. I'm just curious. Like, it does seem like it's a sacrificial lamb for New York. But I don't know. Maybe we're being – Donovan Mitchell, I feel like, has been a good postseason player a lot of his career. Am I wrong in that?
Well,
does he have a good perception come playoff time?
He has a mixed one.
Okay.
He averages a lot of points, but he has big moments that he's no-showed in.
Mm. Is it like a non-efficient lot of points? Is he one of those guys, like high volume of shots, and that's how he gets his numbers?
His official numbers.
Or is he like Harden-esque?
Because he did something last night. I mean, he's not Harden-esque, because that's such a – I mean, that's – but he did something last night that tied an all-time
record. What do you mean? What's the chatter?
What do you mean the chatter? What did I say?
You said Harden-esque. What is that?
Well, the Harden-esque, he's terrible in the playoffs.
In like game – well, in like –
Is he?
I don't know. I'm asking.
James Harden is?
Yeah.
In the playoffs?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Well, he didn't know that.
You weren't aware of that?
He hadn't heard the chatter.
Was there an I didn't see that. He said that in a press conference?
I'm
really confused right now. Are you confirming with me, the non-basketball guy, that James Harden sucks in the playoffs?
He's so bad that they're going to move the Cleveland-Detroit games to L.A. No, Harden was asked after game three when he had the fourth quarter.
Somebody texted in and said Swag will be in L.A. for game seven. That's why he thought the Monday night game was in L.A.
He was asked after his game three fourth quarter because he had 10 points going into the fourth, and then he had 9 in the fourth, so he finished 19. He was asked about the chatter about his reputation. He was like, what chatter? And they're like, your playoff reputation? He goes, I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, are you serious right now?
He was trying to be serious, so there's no chance he's serious.
There's no chance.
Don't you know?
Why wouldn't you just, like...
You know when you're not...
This is part of the problem. I think he has. Just embrace it. Like, yeah, it sucks. I don't know what it is. It's not that I'm not caring or that I'm not invested or I'm not preparing. Like, I can't put my finger on it, but it's a driving force for me to get it fixed.
Like, there's elements of analytics. There's cap stuff. And there's realignment chatter. Like, there are things in our job that I'm just going to tell you straight up. I'm not good.
Yeah.
I don't care to be good. I don't try to be good. I don't want to pretend to you.
Nobody's perfect.
No. Baseball in some aspects, if it's not in a Brave orbit, I'm just having to read about it to follow it.
Right.
Hockey, I mean, my God. I thought last night I turned on that Wild Avs game a little bit because I'm like, oh, this has, you know, been a high-scoring series.
Did you see the butting with the stick penalty?
Very controversial. But he
Double
sold
minor.
It yesterday as if they were losing the series. They went up 3-1.
Yeah,
I was very confused.
Benched their goaltender, and that ended up being a good move.
I know, and he didn't outright say it, but he made it seem like they were on the verge of losing
like
to the Wild.
Like in trouble, yeah.
And then I watched this, and they win 4-2, and they go up 3-1.
Yeah.
You go up 3-1 in a series, you've dominated the series.
You have. In hockey, it's not over because we see those erased quite often. It's one of the unique sports that way that nothing's done until it's officially done. The other fun part about that series, by the way, is we now pivot out of talking about Pistons and Cavs, which I think sums up how we feel about Pistons and Cavs. If you've bet the under in this series, it has two of the all-time bad beats. In game two of the series, the Avs scored a goal with 4 seconds left on an empty net to hit the over.
Yeah.
And last night it happened again.
Two empty netters
in a 3-2 game made it 4-2, and then the Wild pulled their goalie again. And I can't remember what the time was because I turned it off kind of at that point. But they scored another one, and I saw the final. I'm like, are you kidding me? Two in the last 30 seconds of the game to hit the over. That is a brutal loss if you're a gambler.
Yeah, his numbers are fine. It's not the most efficient, but it's pretty okay.
Yeah, for Donovan Mitchell.
It's more like that was an all-time heater.
I mean, he just couldn't miss in the second half.
39 in the second half.
That's what people
insane.
Are telling me. That's an insane number for a half of basketball.
You know, I saw this yesterday.
With the season, essentially, because the NBA 3-1's basically, although Philly just did it to Boston, so I shouldn't say that. But that feels like the series is over at that point, so to save their season, essentially.
You know what's funny is, I don't know why, but I read this article from, give me a second here, friend of the program, I'm blanking on his name, Howard Beck.
Okay.
I got to an article that Howard Beck wrote, and I don't know why, but it was mainly about the first round, because I was thinking about our conversation. 48 games in the first round. That's the most they had since 2014.
Hey, how about that?
It's the second most in the past two decades. And of the 8 first-round series, 6 lasted at least 6 games. 3 series went full 7 games.
Uh-huh.
It's the most they've had since 2014 when there were 5. And 2 teams overcame 3-1 deficits to win series. With Orlando, Detroit,
Detroit
and,
Orlando,
the Sixers both doing it.
Ah, touche. Yeah, I forgot Detroit was down 3-1.
Before this year, there had been just three instances of that happening in NBA history.
Mm. Still sucked.
It didn't, though. The second round has been terrible.
It's been really bad. Part of it is just the matchups for me that I didn't like. Detroit-Orlando, you could tell me was a good series, and then I turned on.
But you weren't going to care about it. Yeah.
I turned on the game, and Orlando scored 8 points in a fourth quarter. So seven, it's like
it's the worst
you could have a close game, but that doesn't mean
it's a good game. Yeah.
You could have a seven-game series. It doesn't mean it's a good series.
Philly-Boston
was a good series. That one I won't poo-poo. That was fun and competitive and, like, the storylines on each
side.
And
now you got Game 5, T-Wolves, Spurs tonight in
San
Antonio.
This has been a great series, and I can't wait. Does Wemby get, you know, start elbowing people again? If you're the T-Wolves, you're trying to get under his skin, right? Like, I'm poking that guy. I'm pinching him every time I get.
How are they going to ref it?
I'll be curious. We'll get to that in the final hour because that's the most competitive series and compelling series, I would argue, of the second round. So that's a part of the final hour of the show. We will start, though, with the mail sack. Your questions are welcome. 503-864-6326. Fire them away, sports, non-sports, whatever you want to know. We'll answer them. The mail sack kicks off the final hour next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.